Good afternoon. I do fine. How do you do? As I have been recently reading and meditating in an old book, back in 1985, Millie Stamm, who used to be with Stonecroft Ministries, had a little book called Beside Still Waters. And when Catherine asked me if I would speak for this, I thought, I did a couple of years ago. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. And so I did. I took about a week or so and thought about it. And the Lord spoke very clearly, Psalm 23. And so it was during the next week, I think, that in this little book that Millie was in Psalm 23. So it just kind of confirmed what I felt like the Lord was wanting me to share with you today. I've always thought that Psalm 23 was that verse, that chapter that was on the inside of the funeral programs, and or a psalm that you memorized, and forgive me if I just say, sometimes we do it rotely. We just do it because we know it, and we don't stop and think about it. And that's the way I was with Psalm 23. But a few years ago, I think it was, well, I don't remember when it was, maybe 2007 or somewhere back in there, I was in a ministry that was working with abused women, and the founder of that program used Psalm 23 as her basis. And that's when I first stopped and took each phrase as it was and broke it down. And so Psalm 23 became very personal, not just that psalm that is on the inside of the funeral brochures. Just like many of you, I've read and studied the Bible over a number of years and other various resources. And as I've done that, my heart has been blessed. I've been encouraged, I've been challenged, and yes, I have been very convicted, all of which has caused me to lean more and more into my shepherd. I don't pretend to understand all of this psalm and all that it has, but I'm going to touch on what the Holy Spirit has shown me as I've studied it, and then some of the things that came out of it through that other program. There's so much more to be gleaned, so let's pray. Father, I ask that you go before me today as I share. I ask that you prepare each heart to hear and receive your truth today. I ask that you be glorified this day, and I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. I really got a little bit nervous a couple of weeks ago. Those of you who were here heard Pastor talk about exegesis and eisegesis. Those are great big words. One means that you take out of context what is there. The other one is you put in what you want it to mean. And so I thought, oh man, you know, I hope I can exegesis and not eisegesis. So bear with me on that. I've often read the Bible devotionally. You know, what can I get out of it? What does it mean to me? And not so much the historical or who it's being written to and that. And when I was privileged to go to Israel a couple of times, that changed the way that I read the Bible. The other key thing that changed was when I was doing precept ministries, and they have you stop and look up words and do all kinds of stuff. And that truly is very hard for me, but it has made me slow down and ask God to reveal to me what he wants to show me and to teach me, and while I'm still looking for the application, so that I can live, you know, the word. So as Joanna said, I'm not teaching. I don't mean to stand up here and teach, but I am going to share what the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and taught me over the over the years during my quiet times, and I call them nuggets. So I hope you'll go home with a few nuggets of your own. Listen carefully as I read Psalm 23 and see if you hear the personal tenderness and loving care of this shepherd that Psalm 23 is about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Could you pick up on that personal, the tenderness, his loving care? Well, I don't know where each of you are at this particular moment or in your season of life, but I do believe that no matter who we are or where we're at, we all need to slow down and pause to ponder and meditate on God's word. It doesn't have to be an entire book. It can just be a few verses, but we need to ask this gentle shepherd to teach us, to open our eyes and give us the understanding to something new that he wants to reveal about himself. I know in the past, and still occasionally do, I go to the Word of God as if I'm driving through the fast food lane for a quick bite to eat. Life gets so very busy, doesn't it? All of us, it doesn't matter what age we are, whether we got little kids at home, whether we're retired, we've got a full-time job, caring for an elderly parent, it doesn't matter. Life just gets busy. And so I've had to ask myself, is this really what I want my relationship with the Lord to look like? Quality relationships, good relationships take time. Both parties are involved and with talking and listening. Sometimes just being still. We don't have to talk, but listen. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. In 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Psalm 46:10 says, to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So let's pause and ponder on this bread of life, how this good shepherd shares for his flock, how he understands his flock, how he's concerned for each one of his sheep, to the point where he seeks out and saves and restores his sheep, women like you and I. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The first thing that was revealed to me was the little word my. Have you all noticed that? The Lord is my shepherd. He's not a shepherd. He's my shepherd, which really indicates a personal relationship with him. John 10 talks about Christ, the good shepherd, and I encourage you to take time to read and meditate on that chapter along with Psalm 23. Well, the good shepherd knows his sheep by name, and they know his voice. In verse 10, it says that the thief, or the false shepherds, they come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But the good shepherd says that I've come to give life, that they might have life, that they might have it more abundant. And I remember one time when reading that, and I thought, Lord, I want to know what that abundant life is. Will you show me? And I believe he has in various ways, maybe not all the time, but a lot more of the time than I used to have as a younger Christian. So because he wants us to have this abundant life, it shows me that he is that gentle, caring, personal shepherd that we find in Psalm 23. And if that's true and the word of God is true, then it goes on to say, I shall not want. What more could you want than an abundant life? I shall not want. That indicates to me contentment, understanding, accepting the fact that my shepherd is caring for me, providing all that I need. Psalm 34:9-10 says, "There is no want to them that fear him. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And that's something that my shepherd does, is if I'm in one verse, one portion of the Bible, the Holy Spirit just says, "Oh, over here, there's something else," and it ties in. And then over here, there's something. And so it's just, it's not a rabbit trail, but it's just connecting the Word of God with one section to another section of the Bible. It's just so complete. The second verse says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He makes me lie down, not just anywhere, but in green pastures and beside still waters. Isn't that a pretty picture? When I first realized that he makes me to lie down, I just had to stop and I thought, wow, What is that about? Well, he knows that we are tired and we need rest, and sometimes he has to make us lie down. As I've read different things or different devotionals on sheep, I've come to find out that they sometimes won't lay down on their own, and that's the shepherd has to make them to lie down. And I think, well, maybe that's what he's doing with us when an illness comes, or heartache of some sort, or loneliness. He wants us to slow down or lie down and pause and rest. The shepherd knows his sheep. They're restless, fearful creatures. But when the shepherd is in their midst, they become quiet. Don't we find when we're spending quiet time with the Lord Jesus Christ that we have a peace and a rest about us rather than in that chaotic world where everything is just calling and demanding our time? And I can get caught up in that. Ask me about next weekend. Anyway, the shepherd is in their midst, and then they become quiet. The good shepherd knows the needs of his sheep, and he sees to it that they are nourished, rested, refreshed, and quiet. He loves to see his sheep, you and me, content and relaxed, to be refreshed and satisfied with him. Do you find yourself content? Are you relaxed? Are you refreshed? Do you find quiet in your heart? Or are you restless, fearful, uncertain? And what do you do when you are made to lie down? Do you murmur, "I don't want to do this right now. I have so much stuff to do"? You fuss about what needs to be done? Do you get irritated because your schedule has been interrupted? How many of us has these schedules that blah, 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 and blah, 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 and this is what I have to do? Or do you lie down and rest? John 10 says, "He leads them, and they follow him, for they know his voice." Again, we need to know our shepherd personally, so that we can hear and listen to his voice, so that we will follow him and not be taken captive by the false, enticing voices of the world. That word "leads" is another word that popped out to me. He leads us. He doesn't push us. He doesn't drag us. He doesn't jerk us around. He doesn't coerce us. He leads, and we follow. How amazing is that? So these are things, these little phrases, you know, to know my shepherd personally, to hear and to listen. These are the nuggets that I've gotten as I've sat at his feet. Because he leads me and doesn't jerk me around, I feel pretty protected and pretty well cared for. How about you? As I've sat more and more quietly at his feet, I'm finding it easier to trust him and obey him, especially as I've gotten older. I think age has a positive factor in that. He makes us to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. Sheep need to have good, healthy nourishment, and I understand that they get restless by the rushing waters. I don't know this for a fact. It's what I've read. So the shepherd finds green pastures for them and the still waters. In pictures, not all of the pastures that I've looked at are green and luscious, but some are kind of barren and rocky. How many times have you and I settled for or lingered in the barren ground and struggled searching for something better? The shepherd finds the right pasture for his sheep, and he leads them there. He will lead you and I there. I like to think of my green pastures as the Word of God, which feeds me spiritually, gives me instruction and direction. I love soothing Christian music. Kathy, you play the piano so beautifully. It does minister to my soul. Thank you for that. The other green pasture that is frequent is the sweet fellowship that I have with my Christian sisters. And I don't have that with my blood family. One son and one grandson I can talk spiritual things with now, and I'm blessed with that. But I find that sweet fellowship with my Christian sisters. The shepherd knows that the sheep don't like the churning waters or stagnant waters even, so he leads them beside the still waters. For me, my still waters is the lack of chaos around me. Not rushing here and there, not filling up my schedule to the point where I'm going to get burned out. Leaving those technical devices alone. It's a place of calm so that I can take time to be with my shepherd without all those other distractions. And he has shown me that. He's shown me how I can get up in the morning and I think, oh, I put a tub of laundry in, or I need to clean up the kitchen sink, or maybe I need to go and undo this. And he's always calling, come, sit at my feet. Come, sit at my feet. The rest of it will be taken care of in due time. And those distractions, I believe, come from the devil himself. John 10, which I had quoted earlier, the first part of that verse says, the thief or the devil wants to rob, steal, and destroy. He would do anything to keep me or you from the Word of God, from spending time with him. And that's what the distractions do to my quiet time with the Lord. But my shepherd always provides the best for you and me, for his sheep. And we just need to choose to stay close to his side and listen to that voice. The shepherd's aim is to keep his sheep healthy. He wants you and I to be healthy, to walk in victory, to stay close to his side. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This next little bit is taken from the book entitled Beside Still Waters. There's some things that I haven't had real insight from him about, and so I'm gleaning from this little devotional book, Beside Still Waters by Millie Stamm. It says, sheep stray easily. It is the shepherd's business to find the ones who have strayed and restore them to the fold. Like sheep, we too go astray. At first, we take one step away from the good shepherd, then another, and another. Before we realize what has happened, we have strayed from God's path of righteousness to our own making. Then we need the restoring touch of our good shepherd. The Hebrew word for restore means to turn around. We need to turn from our way to his. That's called repentance. David wrote from his own experience. He remembered a time when he had strayed and was out of fellowship with the Lord. He cried to God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. In Psalm 51:12. In his faithfulness, the good shepherd brought David back into fellowship with God. And if we cry that out to our shepherd, he too will restore us. He doesn't cast a sheep aside when they stray. He mends and he restores. This just reminds me of Matthew 18 and Luke 15, where it tells of the owner going out to find his one lost sheep. The one lamb is important to the shepherd. I love God's faithfulness, that he cares about that one. To guard against straying from his care, we need to spend time with him, keeping close to his heart of love. Some shepherds take time to be alone with each of their sheep every day. While grazing one by one, the sheep leave their pasture and go to the shepherd. He pats the sheep, rubs it, and lets it know that it's very special to him. And I've thought about that, and I think there are just some really special moments when I'm alone with my shepherd that I feel that closeness. I feel that gentle touch, that caring. And just like, excuse me, the shepherd that actually have the furry little sheep out there, that's something that he does for them. And because they know him, they can come to him. And that's what we need to do. That's what I need to do. If sheep have need of time alone with their shepherd daily, how much more important is it for us to spend time with our shepherd? Keeping close to him keeps us from straying from him. We are special to him, and he loves to have this close, intimate time with each of his children. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31 says. That's the end of the quote from Millie Stamm's book. How easily I can become distracted and stray. I'm not a morning person, so when I have to be out by 8 or 9 for an appointment, or I'm with friends, my traveling girls, and some of them are early bird risers, some earlier than the others, and there's a couple of us that aren't, and I'm glad I have one. That's when it seems that my time with my shepherd suffers and is neglected. I love the time with my girls. But when you're up and you're running and you're going, something gets missed. And more than often than not, it's my time with Jesus. There's an unrest in my spirit until I can have that time alone with him. I do try to avoid the early appointments as much as possible, but life happens, and it just does. And the good thing that I've come to know is that my shepherd knows that, and he still shows his gentleness with me. He just calls my name and says, come, come be quiet, come away, I want to be with you. Another part of that verse is, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My shepherd will not lead me in the way of destruction, but in the paths of righteousness. I can trust him to lead me in the right way. I must follow him. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Again, I'm noticing the word walk, not being pushed or dragged or coerced, but walk. The word through, to me, means through. I'm not going to go halfway and he'll leave me there. No, he's with me. Nor do I get stuck. I'm going to walk all the way through, because that's what his word says. The valley of the shadow of death. Well, what's that? So I picture a canyon-like setting with a valley at the beginning and ending into another wide open area or another valley. This canyon rises up and it prevents the sun from shining, but at times it casts a shadow. And what are shadows? Shadows are just often a larger reflection of the small thing that's being reflected. I like word pictures, and so, you know, that just helps me. And God's been very good to give me many different word pictures. What is your shadow of death? Is it a compromised lifestyle that you feel like you're trapped in? Is it the uncertainty of what this world's situation is about? What's going to happen? Is it an incurable disease? And it means the end of this life here on earth. I've had two good friends that God recently has called home. And one we knew for certain was going to be passing. The other one had a stroke and was gone within, I think, 2 or 3 days. Going through it, excuse me, going through a divorce 35 years ago was a shadow of death for me. It was the death of my marriage, my family, some of my dreams. My shepherd walked me through that period, and as he has provided all that I've ever needed. One day I will die, as all of us must face death's door, unless we're raptured, and then that's a whole other story. And I will trust my shepherd to walk me through that time. I've watched others walk through that. And I've watched the grace. I've watched how they've drawn closer to the Lord. So those are life lessons. And I try to tuck those back in my bank to draw from. That's one way that my shepherd teaches me and helps me to apply what's going on and what his truth is. Whatever the valley of the shadow of death is, you can be assured that this good shepherd I've been talking about promises to be with us and walk us through. His word assures me of that. Hebrews 13:5b says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and the Lord, he it is that does go before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. We can confidently walk with our good shepherd through anything and not fear what is ahead. I have found this to be so true, and as the trials and tests have come my way, I know that my shepherd is walking with me, not just over here, but he's walking with me through these trials and tests. And who better to walk me through this valley of shadow of death than my good shepherd? For he is the one who knows, as he is the one who went before me, suffered, and gave his life on the cross for me, for you. Do you see how those little words, through, walk, are so critical to stop and ponder and think, what does that mean? How does that apply to me? Verse 4. Whoops. The last part of it. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As the shepherd moves his sheep through the valley and perhaps to a higher ground, there can be predators or enemies along the way. The shepherd's rod is his defending power, and he uses it to strike down the adversaries in the way. The staff he uses to keep his sheep from wandering, to draw them back into his way, to lift them from places of danger or for correction. Many lessons can be learned from the shepherd and his sheep. There is comfort in being under the care of the good shepherd. There should be a desire to stay close to him, for he is our protector and our comforter. If we are prone to wander, we may find the good shepherd using his crook or his staff, drawing us back to himself. Some of these phrases I haven't understood very well. I believe the Lord will continue to show me and teach me. But looking back over my life, I can recognize how he used his rod and his staff in keeping me from certain dangers and or keeping certain people of the wrong influence from me. It's during those times when I can see how he made me to lie down in green pastures and beside the still waters to refresh and restore my soul. Verse 5, we've got two more verses. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This phrase has puzzled me, and I don't know that I really have a clear understanding. So I went back to Millie Stamm's book, Beside Still Waters, and it was helpful. So here's another partial quote. As our host, the Good Shepherd invites us to his table, which he has provided and placed before us. He has taken utmost care to prepare his very best, amply providing for our every need. Philippians 4:19 in the Amplified Bible says, "And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." The Good Shepherd prepares a table for us with himself as our host. Because his meals are well balanced, we are always satisfied at his table. No fast food there. As Jesus said unto them in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." What a wonderful thought that daily we are in his special care and that daily he is serving us. We may be surrounded by enemies of doubt, fear, envy, self-pity, even rebellion. But in the midst of them, our loving host has prepared our daily provision. At his table, there is a never-ending supply. His provisions never fail. God's banqueting table is set before us. It is a table for our spiritual nourishment and refreshment. All we need is provided for us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, this Good Shepherd. Are you partaking of what is being offered to you by our gracious Father? The gift of personally knowing his Son, Jesus Christ, this Good Shepherd that I've been talking of? Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." And in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me." And it's through Jesus that we are able to go to that banqueting table that he set before for us. The last part of verse 5 says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." As I've read, again, about these sheep and trying to relate it to myself, I've understood that sheep are often troubled by nose flies and parasites. So the shepherd will rub an ointment containing oil on their heads as a protection from these pesky enemies. In Scripture, oil is used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So I believe that our heads and our minds need the protection of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how you and I need the anointing of our Holy Spirit to keep those pesky enemies that we have at bay. The Holy Spirit will enable us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. He will enable us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith. And he will enable us to be able to think on those things that are pure and true and honest and just, lovely. That's what our Holy Spirit does, the one that indwells us. So we need him and his power in order to bear any good fruit in this life. Left to ourselves, we're nothing. Although the world wants to tell us, hey, it's all about me. How many selfies do we see on Facebook? And I think, oh, I can't take them very good. I've tried a couple of times and I just can't do it. So I'm not supposed to. Jesus told his disciples that it was necessary for him to go away and that he would send one like himself, a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And he will guide us into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but will glorify Jesus. That's loosely paraphrased, but the gist of John 16:7-14. I'm so thankful that I don't have to do life on my own, but I have God's own Holy Spirit to lead me and to teach me. When we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and are walking in truth, staying close to this Good Shepherd, meditating on his holy word, our cups do runneth over. At the beginning, I had quoted John 10:10b, which says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The cup of our lives should be full to overflowing with the life of Jesus himself. I have found, especially as I've taken more time to be quiet and not rushed, that my cup does runneth over. And then lastly, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life, not some, not most, but all. There's another little word, all. Isn't it true that some days are just the pits? Some just aren't good at all. But David the psalmist says, all the days of my life. So we need to believe that. I choose to believe that. That's one of those personal application things. If God's word says it, then I've got to believe it. And I can believe it or not. I can have faith or doubt. I can have victory or not. I choose the better. What do you guys do? He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Wow. I don't have to lack anything. I'm not alone. I've got God's goodness and mercy. Oh, don't we need God's goodness and mercy each and every day? I know I do. I'm thankful that it doesn't exclude my bad days. How many of us have those days that were just not very Christ-like, not very nice? I do. My attitude, my actions, they show anything but that from time to time. What the Holy Spirit has done with me in that is I find as I've gotten older, I'm more convicted sooner than later. So I can go to my friend, I can go to my family member and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And I think that's really critical to keep relationships healthy and strong. Someone has said, and I don't know who said this, but goodness to supply every want, mercy to forgive every sin, goodness to provide, mercy to pardon. I just really liked that. Goodness to supply every want, mercy to forgive every sin, goodness to provide, mercy to pardon. God's word is true. He does not lie. So when it does say, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, I, for one, choose to believe and embrace it. I hope you will too. And then the best part is, for me, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is preparing a place for me personally, for you that know him personally. He's coming to get us one day. John 14, 2 through 3 says, Jesus, this good shepherd, says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. I'm so ready. I'm so ready. Are you? How do I know I'm ready? Because God's word tells me so. And as I stay in God's word, the Holy Spirit brings those truths to my mind. And I've noticed in the last, maybe 5 years or so, maybe a little bit more, I'm not a memorizer, but I feel like I know the word of God. But the Holy Spirit will give me the address now, or I know where to go and find it more quickly than ever before. And that's a comfort. And it's like I said earlier, if I'm in one portion of scripture or there's a truth, there's another one that comes up, and then there's another one and another one. And that's just how my shepherd speaks to me. Well, the word tells me that I'm ready because John 3:16 says, and this is all familiar, this is another one of those that we just know, we just rattle off. But really stop and think what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10:9 says, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man or any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. John 10:28-29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Bless you. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Paul preaches in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in verse 13, he goes on, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this isn't just head knowledge, but it's a heart change. And if you don't have it, you can have it. These words are just such a comfort. His truth brings me that comfort that we talked about earlier. Well, whether you're from a broken home, feeling the pressures of day-to-day caring for a family member, overwhelmed by bills piling up, you've suffered a tragic loss, you have a family member with a sinful lifestyle, whatever it is that you're dealing with, know that this good shepherd of Psalm 23 cares for you. And if you will slow down, ponder it, and pause, you might just hear his voice calling your name. Sheila. Trudy. Come. Rest a while. Be refreshed. There is nothing to fear, for I am leading you through this difficult time. Today, can you say that you know Psalm 23? Or that you know the shepherd of Psalm 23? I think there's a difference. By the authority of his redemptive work, his death and resurrection, you can trust him and call him my shepherd. You just need to repent, believe, and follow. That is a quote from Pastor Steve. Thank you so much for your attentiveness and allowing me to share part of my heart. Some of the nuggets that the shepherd has taught me. And if anybody has any questions, you know, I'll linger around a little while to spend time with you if you need. As you leave, Eileen Davidson and Catherine Crawley have a bookmark that you can take with you as a reminder about Psalm 23 and the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Father, thank you for your truth, for your scriptures, which you inspired to be recorded so that we might pause and ponder over them and learn from them. I ask that you do the work in each heart here today so that they will truly know you and not just know about you. I pray that they will be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Amen.